You're listening to Vatican Radio. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.
Time to join Joan Lewis, EWTN's bureau chief here in Rome. In a few moments, she'll be giving us a bird's eye view of this past week in the Vatican. Joan, welcome back to the radio.
We're winding down or winding up or something on our way to the canonization, and I have to tell you, the crowds this week, it's like this was a dry run for the canonization. I mean, Wednesday I had to go to the Vatican press office for something other than the actual audience, just trying to get through the crowds around St. Peter's Square and Pius XII. So I'm trying to imagine what it's going to be like in 2 weeks, my dear. But the same people that are here now, of course, won't be here for that. But gosh, we have Easter. We have Palm Sunday. And then in a week we have Easter, and then the
Divine Mercy Sunday with the canonizations.
And I saw, coming over here today, I saw on a bus great big posters from the Vicariate of Rome, and they've got a picture. The one that I saw had a picture of Pope John Paul, and then it gave the website to go for information.
And not John 23rd.
Well, maybe they have separate posters. I only saw one. So even the buses of Rome are advertising the canonization.
Anyway, getting back to us, we begin with Sunday, as
usual. A big crowd, yeah. Oh, that was mammoth, absolutely mammoth on Sunday. Now, maybe people knew that, because we did talk about it in the media, that the Pope was going to give out little gospel books. So the four evangelists plus a revelation. You couldn't have fit a butterfly in the square. Well, maybe a butterfly because they could fly away. But a mammoth crowd for the Angelus. What I love about the Angelus is seeing entire families come out. You know, the parents have two or three kids who are, you know, five, eight, nine, then they got somebody else in a little carriage. And so they make it a family thing, which is wonderful. And it really was great, though, the moment when, after the Angelus, is when the Holy Father makes an appeal or greets groups or whatever. And at a certain point, he said, you know, in the last few Sundays, he said, I've suggested that you all have a small copy of the gospel, you know, carry around so you can always read it all day. And then he remarked on this tradition, an ancient tradition of the church during Lent, where catechumens were preparing for baptism and so forth, were given a gospel. And he said, so I thought, well, why not do that here? And today, after the Angelus, you will find people in the square who will be handing these out. Naturally, there were not enough, even though there were thousands and thousands. But what I loved was the Holy Father remarked, this will be freely distributed. And then off the cuff, he said, you know, folks, I can just hear you saying, but what do you mean free? Is this really going to be free, Father? And he said, yes, it's free. But you know what? I got an idea. In exchange for getting this free gospel, why don't you perform an act of charity? Sunday was, the Angelus was the beginning of the Pope's day, because actually in the afternoon he went to the Roman parish of St. Gregory the Great.
A great name for a church in a periphery, though.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And of course he did the usual, meeting the faithful and children and senior citizens and people from different organizations and so forth. And he also met with a group called the co-op called the PROW, and it deals with the reintegration into the workforce of ex-detainees and ex-drug addicts. And the Holy Father, as a pastor would do, you know, he greeted people, he confessed people, and then, of course, he celebrated Mass. Monday was a huge day for the Pope. Yeah. He met the bishops of Tanzania. He also addressed the organizing committee for the 28th World Youth Day of Rio. They came to Rome, and led by their archbishop, the Cardinal Tempesta. And the Pope was joking with the whole group, and he said, you know, the Brazilian people are thieves because they stole his heart. But he thanked them for the theft because it quelled his longing for Brazil. And then another thing, it wasn't exactly a meeting, but a very important action of the Holy Father's on Monday, he signed and approved a proposal on the future of the Vatican Bank, because that was like, do we really need this? Can other organizations do it? It's been under the critical eye for quite some time. And he reaffirmed the importance of the IORs, the bank's mission, for the good of the Catholic Church, the Holy See, and Vatican City State. So anybody who works there can rest assured the bank will still be around. On Monday afternoon at 4, Pope Francis received King Abdullah of Jordan. And this was very interesting, very much like the low-key visit with Queen Elizabeth in a couple of rooms off the Paul VI Hall. He received King Abdullah in the Santa Marta residence. And it was interesting because the king was accompanied by Prince Ghazi bin Muhammad, and he's his advisor on religious affairs. And you can search the Vatican website, and this name will come up a lot when it's a question of relations with Muslims. There's also an entourage, but
of course, the Pope's going to the Holy Land.
Exactly. That's kind of the point. I mean, the king was coming here and going to, I think, Austria the next day for a series of meetings. It was a 40-minute meeting, so it was a good length, and again, the Pope's trip to the Holy Land, because he first will visit Jordan. The king told the Pope of his sentiments. He said the sentiments with which the people of Jordan are preparing to welcome the Pope and their willingness to collaborate in the commitment for peace and interreligious dialogue. And you know, if you just go to any news section on the web and Google Jordan, you're going to find Syrian refugees. They have camps for refugees from Iraq. They have the Syrians who are flowing into Jordan and into Lebanon. It's two countries hugely burdened by the war, by the situation in
Syria. That, on Wednesday, the Pope made an appeal for peace.
Yes, yes, he did, within the context of the death of a priest. And this was a Jesuit. This was at the end of the general audience. By the way, the Pope started a new catechesis on the Holy Spirit and the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. They follow a very precise order, it seems. So last week he spoke of wisdom. You could really hear it in the Pope's voice and see it in his face when he said last Monday, Father Franz van der Lucht, a Dutch Jesuit brother, was and he's 75. He's been there since 1955 or something. He was assassinated in Syria. Here was a man who's been good, as said the Pope, to all, acting with love and gratuity. He was loved and esteemed by Christians and Muslims. His brutal killing filled me with profound sadness and made me think once again of the many people who suffer and die in that afflicted country. And he just implored people. He said, I implore all of you to join my prayers for peace in Syria and throughout the region, and make a heartfelt appeal to the leaders, to authorities, set down your weapons, bring an end to the violence, no more war, no more destruction. He said it with a lot more force than I'm even saying it now. So, and then in that same region, there was another piece of news later in the week about the death of Patriarch Emeritus Emmanuel Dely. He was the Patriarch of the Chaldeans and for years in Iraq as the Patriarch. The current Patriarch, of course, is Louis Raphael the First Sacco, and he was up in Kirkuk before being named Patriarch. And actual Cardinal Dely died in San Diego. There's a very big Chaldean community in San Diego, California, and he's going to be buried in Detroit, where there's another even bigger Chaldean community in the United States, because the cardinal had relatives there. So the Middle East was the focus of that, of several days of news in the Vatican.
That's something local. He announced something local on Wednesday as well, didn't he? Relating to Holy Week.
Oh, the Vatican announced the Lord's Supper, Holy Thursday Mass, the evening one, will be celebrated at the Don Carlo Gnocchi. Don is an Italian word for father. Father Carlo Gnocchi Foundation in the St. Mary of Providence Center. And so the Holy Father, actually, when it comes to the washing of the feet, he will be celebrating the Eucharist and so forth with people affected by many forms of disability. So very, very meaningful there for the Pope.
Once again, in the periphery of Rome.
Yeah, exactly. Go out to the periphery, folks. You're going to hear him say that again and again, and he, as he has in the past.
Then on Thursday.
Thursday, the Holy Father received an audience, professors, students, and then the non-teaching, so like administrative staff, of the Pontifical Gregorian University, which, by the way, is Jesuit-run, the Pontifical Biblical Institute, and the Pontifical Oriental Institute. These three were all brought together, I learned, in studying about the Pope's visit. They were all brought together by Pope Pius XI in 1923, and all three of them, I mentioned just the Gregorian, the Greg, as it's called here in Rome, they were entrusted to the Jesuits. And one of the focal points of the Holy Father was the importance of collaborating among themselves. And he said, safeguarding historical memory and at the same time taking responsibility for the present and looking to the future with creativity and imagination.
So great. Pope Pius XI, the founder of our radio station.
Oh, there you are, of course, 1931.
Entrusted to the Jesuits as well.
Exactly. Well, there's a reason for entrusting a lot of things to the Jesuits, including the papacy, as we now know. Something very, very meaningful, actually, on Thursday. There was a two-day meeting in the Vatican, April 9th and 10th, on human trafficking. The title of this meeting is Second International Conference on Combating Human Trafficking, Church and Law Enforcement in Partnership. And this was organized by new Cardinal, Vincent Nichols, and the Episcopal Conference of England and Wales. And you know, if you only quoted 10 words, a dozen words of the Holy Fathers, he said that human trafficking is an open wound on the body of contemporary society, a scourge on the body of Christ, and a crime against humanity. So, and we mentioned in the title, we mentioned law enforcement because there were law enforcement officers, obviously, in addition to church, people involved in church organizations or secular organizations that fight human trafficking.
He actually met with some of these people who'd been trafficked, didn't he?
Yes, yes, he did. And I think he met with four of them who had been women who had been brought into prostitution and sold. Bringing us to Friday, various audiences that I saw on the schedule for today, but the Holy Father is filled with surprises, as we know, so by the time we go to bed, he could have met 6,000 other people in four audiences. He's one amazing man. We must never forget his morning masses, too, packed every day. The fact that he's now inviting, I don't think this has been announced every day, but the Pope has been receiving 25 people from different Roman parishes at his morning mass, which is lovely. I mean, he made the rounds here of Vatican City, of the Roman Curia, Vatican City state offices. He's the Bishop of Rome, and he often talks about that as his title. So as the Bishop of Rome, to receive people from the churches in your diocese is absolutely the right thing to do.
Thank you very much, Joan. See you next week, then.
Indeed.
You were listening there to Joan Lewis, EWTN's Bureau Chief here in Rome. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.